Welcome to Knowing God in the Word, brought to you by the Word of Truth Ministry, publishers of Seed and Bread. I'm your host, Bob Juno, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. This radio program is for the purpose of helping listeners fulfill the greatest need we have as believers, to know God. Today, Nathan will continue his teaching series on the flow of truth with 23 propositions concerning Acts. And now, Bible teacher Nathan Johnson.
Thanks, Bob. In our last program, I had started presenting to you 23 propositions regarding the Acts period, the period of history covered by the book of Acts. And these were first presented by Otis Q. Sellers, the founder of the Word of Truth Ministry, and they are my conviction as well. These propositions come from a number of sources. Number one, the word spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ after his resurrection is recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Source number two, the book of Acts and its history of a 33-year period. Source three, Paul's epistles written during the Acts period, not including the 2 years in his own hired house after Acts 28:28. And those epistles are Galatians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, and Romans. And source number four, the book of Hebrews, a record of things proclaimed to the Hebrews during the Acts period. And upon these materials, these sources, and nothing else, I base these 23 propositions. Not church history, not the church fathers, not church tradition, just these four sources. I do not have time to review the previous 10, and I apologize that these messages have to be rather broken up. They're just too long for the half hour I have for these radio messages. But we're going to start right in at proposition number 11. And that is that the proclamation of the gospel was always confirmed to the hearers by signs in the Acts period. I do not believe there was ever a time in the Acts period when the gospel was proclaimed without it being confirmed to the hearers by signs. Take the important passage of Mark 16, verses 19 through 20. Where we read, "So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs." Amen. Now that statement, that the Lord was working with them, was not just that he pepped them up a bit so they would give a good message. No, the Lord worked with them so that they would speak the exact message that these people needed and that the Lord wanted them to hear. And this message was given by inspiration so that they brought the inspired word of God. And I will bring proof of this in later studies. And I'll remind you, I'm simply stating these propositions now so that we might have a basis for a proper study of the Acts period. So this proposition is that the proclamation of the gospel was always confirmed to those who heard it by signs. Now the signs might precede it. That is, they might heal a man and then preach the message. Or they might heal everyone who needed healing in a city and then preach the message. Or the sign might follow the proclaiming of the message, but the signs were always there. No one was asked to believe without seeing. Those who carried the message in the Acts period would not only speak it to you, they would show you. That was the character of the Acts period. It never changed. It never failed. The word was always confirmed with the most definite signs, with miracles that followed it. Proposition number 12. And this one is a strange proposition. And you might find it to be strange, but I believe it to be the truth. And that is that in the Acts period, during those 33 years, a hearer was given only one opportunity to hear the message and have Christ presented to him. Now, I readily acknowledge that this is entirely different than it is today. I'm not saying this is how it is today. I'm saying that is the way it was in that 33 years that the book of Acts records the history. and that is that the heralds of the gospel never spoke it to the same people twice. Now, Paul may speak it once and then go back to teach the believers, but the heralds of the gospel never spoke it to the same people twice. Why not? Well, if one could not believe without hesitation, but would raise some quibble after hearing the testimony of a God-commissioned man who spoke a divinely inspired message, and the truth of that message was confirmed with the most positive and definite miraculous signs following it, well, there was simply nothing more that God could do. I ask you, what more could he do? If God had empowered and commissioned a man, sent him, put on his lips a divinely inspired message, and confirmed that message with signs following it, the most positive, definite, miraculous signs, well, what else was there for God to do? Was it right to say, oh, it didn't take that time, so we'll do this all over again? No, they could never do that over. Those who could not believe under those conditions simply demonstrated that they were not fit to be among the outcalled of God. And there's no doubt about it, it was the outcalled of God that he was producing in the Acts period. Now this is most important. God intended in Acts that every Israelite should hear. But in the Acts period, they got just one opportunity to hear the message. Proposition number 13. Since a firm foundation for faith was laid in the proclamation of the message, God expected belief to be instantaneous, which it always was. Once God had done his work in the Acts period, there was nothing to think over or consider. God had spoken through his mediator directly to these people and confirmed it with signs following. There was only one question to be settled right then and there instantaneously, and that is what the hearer would do about it. And that is because the very firm foundation for faith that God laid in the Acts period. Proposition number 14. In the Acts period, the faith of a believer was always publicly accredited and confirmed by God. Signs did follow those who believe. As it proclaims in Mark 16 and verse 17, as the Lord said in advance. We said, and these signs will follow those who believe. And he listed the signs. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover, and so on and so forth. They will take up serpents, if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. And signs did follow those who believed. A person's relationship to God in the Acts period was a manifest thing. There were no secret believers. Moreover, there were no hypocritical professors. The life of an Acts period believer was not hid with Christ in God. Notice that. Colossians chapter 3 tells us most positively that our lives are hid with Christ in God. But that was not true of an Acts period believer. God accredited a man's faith and made it manifest that this one was related to him. Proposition number 15. After Peter's divinely commissioned visit to the house of Cornelius, Paul was the only man commissioned of God to the Gentiles. As Paul said in Romans 11 and verse 13, for I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. And that was true of Paul, and he only was apostle to the Gentiles. Proposition number 16. Paul's ministry to the Gentiles began in Pisidian Antioch in Acts chapter 13. Nevertheless, Paul's ministry in the Acts period was always to the Jew first. And first there means to the Jew primarily. Now it says this in Romans 1:16. Paul writes, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. Now, Romans was an epistle written in the Acts period. And first there means primarily. To the Jew, primarily. And Paul and his companions would walk straight through a city without stopping if there were no company of Jews in it. Now remember that the Jews always lived in companies. Nothing but a renegade would go off by himself, and few ever did that. At that time, it was a case of, if we do not hang together, they'll hang us one at a time. They were always sorely persecuted wherever they were. And they lived, as we would say, in pockets. If there was no group of Jews in a city, the proclaimers, the heralds, Paul and his company would simply walk straight through it. Now we might think that strange. We might think they took it city by city. And when they came to a city, they simply spoke to whoever was there as they came. But according to the record of Scripture, that is not the case. Consider Acts 17, verses 1 through 2. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, notice that they passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures. Now they didn't bother with Amphipolis and Apollonia. Why? Well, since there were no Jews there. And the true picture which the Bible presents of the 33 years of the Acts period is one in which thousands of divinely commissioned heralds carried the salvation-bringing message of God to every person in Israel. But only one lone herald took it to the Gentiles, and that only after he had fulfilled every obligation to his own people of Israel. Now that is not the picture people want to see, but that is the true picture, and the picture you'll get if you'll faithfully believe the Word of God. Well, then some might say, well, then there must have been very few Gentiles saved. Well, that is exactly right. There were very few Gentiles saved. And if you were asked to name the Gentiles who were saved during the Acts period, well, you would have great difficulty naming them. How many can you call by name who were saved in the Acts period? Well, you might say there was Cornelius. Well, yes. You might say his family. Yes. You might say, well, there was Titus. Well, but beyond that, you simply cannot go a step farther. The true picture of the Acts period is of tens of thousands of Jews who had put their faith in Jesus Christ, but just a small company of Gentiles that God had saved through the Apostle Paul for a certain purpose. Proposition number 17. It was the man Paul who was commissioned to the Gentiles. That I insist upon. It was not Peter. It was not Cornelius. It was not Barnabas. It was not Titus. It was the man Paul who was commissioned to the Gentiles. The man Paul, not the salvation-bringing message. Later on, we'll see that the salvation-bringing message was authorized to the Gentiles at Acts 28:28. But in the Acts period before then, it was a man who was commissioned to the Gentiles. The man Paul became the mediator between God and the Gentiles in respect to that message. Yes, God could save a Gentile. But Paul became the mediator to carry the message. And his duty was primarily to the Jew first, for the Jew had priority. Now today, the great principle is true of one mediator between God and men. And we read that in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Now that is true now, and 1 Timothy was written after Acts 28:28. But that was not true at that time. One of the greatest truths of the present time that is not true at any other time in God's work is that of there being only one mediator between God and man, Christ Jesus. And that was simply not true during the Acts period. Proposition number 18. In the Acts period, the children of Israel are described, as to number, as being like the sand of the sea. We read that in Romans 9 and verse 27. They were scattered throughout the Roman world. And God's purpose in this 33-year period was to sift through every grain of this sand that made up this company. Now among them were many diamonds, who would shine forth the moment they heard the message and saw its confirmation. These in the Acts period will in the future have a special place and perform a special service in the day when he makes up his jewels, according to Malachi 3 and verse 17. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. Now, this proposition is that the number of the children of Israel could not be counted. They were like the sand of the sea, and they were scattered throughout the Roman world. But it was God's purpose in that 33-year period to put every grain of sand to the test, to sift through every grain of sand that made up that great body called the nation of Israel. Among that, there were many diamonds, small, but they were diamonds. And these diamonds would shine forth and could be recognized the moment they heard the message and saw its confirmation. And it was as the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 10 and verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And that saying of Christ was fulfilled and demonstrated to the letter in the Acts period. Proposition number 19. At the close of the Acts period, God had accomplished everything he had set out to do. Now note that carefully. From the day of Pentecost, right up to the close of Acts, God had accomplished everything he set out to do. No purpose of God was left unfinished. No project of God is incomplete. The message had gone forth to the ends of the earth. Every Israelite had heard. A remnant had been established. And a small company for his name had been called from among the Gentiles. The blade stage of the kingdom of God is over, as the Lord set it forth in the parable in Mark chapter 4. And the manifest kingdom of God, God's government over the earth, was ready to burst forth on mankind. Yet we know, with 2020 hindsight, over 1950 years later, that it did not come. And in the great flow of truth, everything is suspended while God accomplishes a purpose which had never before been revealed. God is going to take time out, and take plenty of time, to write into the history of his long dealings with men an absolute record, a record that can never be challenged, of the absolute grace that is inherent in his character. And this is now being done in a dispensation or administration of grace. And thus the truths that were applicable in the Acts period may or may not be applicable today. We must study to rightly divide the word of truth and find out those things that were true in the Acts period but are not true today. Proposition number 20. The salvation-bringing message of God was authorized, that is, made freely available to the Gentiles by Paul's declaration in Acts 28:28. And from that moment forth, any believer in Jesus Christ, as long as he knows the salvation-bringing message, can freely proclaim the gospel of Christ to anyone without any hindrance, without any restriction, without paying attention to any priorities. That has been done by many believers, and that is still being done. Now, I myself make a claim to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I also make the claim that I know his salvation-bringing message. I know where it is written. I've incorporated it into my thinking. And I can freely proclaim this salvation-bringing message, this gospel of Christ, to anyone. I don't have to go to the Jew first. I don't have to give the Jew priority. I don't have to think this is for the Jew primarily, as Paul had to do throughout the Acts period. No. I can proclaim the salvation-bringing message to anyone. I have done it, and I'm still doing it, and as I proclaim it over the radio, certainly the radio has no priority in who hears it. And I thank God for anyone who has heard the salvation-bringing message from me and believed it, who has believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing is now enjoying life through his name. John 20, 30-31. Proposition number 21. In Acts 28 and verse 28, God guaranteed that the Gentiles would hear this message. That is, that it would get through to them, as I showed you when I set up the translation of Acts 28:28. In view of that promise and that guarantee, steps must now be taken by God to make this promise good. If the salvation-bringing message of God has been made freely available, if it has been authorized to the Gentiles, well, to make this authorization of any value, the message had to be put in writing. For once it is put in writing, that makes it the possession of all. Then it can be copied, then it can be studied, and then it can be proclaimed. Proposition number 22. The message that proclaims Christ, the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation, was put into writing. That message is found in the book that God inspired and caused to be written, so that anyone who reads it might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing might have life through his name. And that book is the book we now call the Gospel of John. See John 20, verses 30 through 31. I believe that John was the first book that God caused to be written after the salvation-bringing message was authorized, that is, made freely available to the Gentiles, according to Acts 28 and verse 28. Proposition number 23. God's word never returns to him void. It always accomplishes that which he pleases, and it always accomplishes its purpose in the thing for which he sends it. So concerning the Gospel of John, God has declared that it was written so that anyone reading it might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that anyone believing might have life through his name, John 20:31. This is God's avowed purpose for this book. The Gospel of John was intended by God to produce believers. It has produced believers, and it is continuing to produce believers. As soon as it was written and began circulating, a new and different company of believers in Jesus Christ appeared on the scene. These are the first company of believers ever produced by the written word, instead of by the word spoken by apostles. And these are the result of a God-inspired book, and not the result of God-inspired men. And they are the first company who ever attained to that great company of blessed ones who, not having seen, yet have believed, as the Lord proclaimed in John 20 and verse 29. So in conclusion, these 23 propositions that I have set forth proclaim many things that were true in the Acts period, but that are not truth for today. As such, they will sound very radical to many who hear these words. And if their knowledge of the book of Acts and the epistles of Paul written during Acts is somewhat hazy or superficial, and if their knowledge of the book of Acts is the result of hearsay rather than personal study, well, they will be inclined to repudiate these propositions out of hand. I would ask them to note that the scriptural proof of these statements will be supplied in the messages that are to follow. So please bear with me, and in my next message we will continue to consider the flow of truth.
When we read the book of Acts, we do a disservice to the Word of God if we insist that this is the beginning of the Christian church of the past 2,000 years. The record of events from the Acts dispensation will come alive with new meaning when we enter into that search for truth with the knowledge of these 23 propositions in our possession. Thank you, Nathan, for your lesson on 23 propositions concerning Acts. On our next program, Nathan will continue his teaching series on the flow of truth with the proclamation to Cornelius. Thank you for joining us today. Our hope is that the more you study God's Word, the more you know and love God. For more information on the program, to hear past programs, and for other material Nathan has produced, please visit our website at knowinggodintheword.org. We also send out a weekly email newsletter in which Nathan does the same thing he does on this radio program, going verse by verse through the Bible and then discussing what it means. Email Nathan at this address, nathan@knowinggodintheword.org. Ask to be placed on this mailing list if you'd like, or you can also just ask a Bible question through this email. For more Bible study literature by Nathan and other Bible teachers, including Seed and Bread Bible studies, please visit the Word of Truth Ministry at seedandbread.org or write to us, The Word of Truth Ministry, P.O. Box 1609, Canyon Country, California, 91386. Your donations are always appreciated, but you will not be solicited for funds in any way, so feel free to contact us. This program has been brought to you by the Word of Truth Ministry. I've been your host, Bob Juneau, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. So long for now. We look forward to you joining us next week on Knowing God in the Word.